You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com. Hey everybody, welcome to the Chris Spangle Show. My name is Chris Spangle. I am here to present an episode to you that was going to be one of my first episodes for a podcast that I was going to start, and I may still start. It's called Podcasting and Platforms. I ultimately decided that I needed to invest my energy into We Are Libertarians, obviously, and I just don't have room to start a second podcast at this point between a full-time job and doing, you know, 20 hours of reading for the show and all the platform work plus trying to live a life at the same time. So I didn't want to start a second platform. I get asked all the time about how to do podcasting, and I have done several podcasts about podcasting, which you've heard over the last few episodes. And this was one of those first episodes for Podcasting and Platforms. And I wanted to put it out because there's a lot of valuable information. A friend of mine is a multimedia teacher, Don Wetrick, and he asked if I would sit down and talk to a couple of his students as they start out their podcasting career. And I decided to record it because they had a lot of questions. They had a lot of really good questions. And I think there are a lot of valuable tips from both them and myself in this episode. And I wanted to make sure that that got out there because, A, they put the time to come down and record the episode, and B, I think it's valuable. So if you have any questions about podcasting, feel free to always hit me up. I am probably going to do some of the how-to podcasting stuff in this feed over time, and eventually I will do the podcasting and platforms, you know, how-to down the road, but for now I've got to focus on my passion, which is political commentary. Here is my conversation with two of Don Wetrick's students. Welcome to Podcasting and Platforms. My name is Chris Spangle, and we are here to teach you how to build out podcasts and platforms. And this series is called Save My Podcast, and I am joined by two high school students, correct?
Yeah.
This is Sarah Schaefer. She is a podcaster at The Humanitarian on SoundCloud. And Sarah, you're in high school?
Yeah, I'm a senior.
Okay. And we're also joined by Courtney Magson.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep, Magson.
Courtney Magson, and her podcast is Humans of Indie on Anchor. And are you a senior as well?
I am.
Now, yep. Are you two besties?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Future college roommates.
Oh, yep. Where are you guys going to go to school?
IUPUI.
Okay. That's where I went. It's a great school here in Indianapolis. It's great. It's a great decision because you'll be in Indianapolis, you'll be in the big city here in Indiana, and that's how I got an internship in radio in 2004, which makes me... Were you guys born in 2004?
Yeah, I was four.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Okay, so in 2004 is when I started my career, so that's how long I've been doing this. And we're going to talk to them about their podcast as they start out growing. How long have you done your podcast, Sarah?
Well, this new podcast is brand new. She's 4 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
But I last year, my junior year, I did this podcast called It's Lit, and it was basically like featuring very talented writers at my high school, and like I just didn't like it. Like, I didn't really feel it. So like I wanted to like kind of rebrand and like do something new. So
that happens.
Yeah.
I did the Chris Spangle Show, and it was a feed for many years, and I was just like, I just don't know what to do with this anymore, and I don't like having my name on the show, so I'm going to switch up and do something different. And that's what this feed became. So it's very common. And Courtney, how old's your podcast?
A week old.
It's
a pretty new idea. Just recently came up, and I've just decided I'm just going to stick with podcasting and see where it goes. So, yep, just about a week old.
Yeah, the key is really just gritting it out when you don't want to do it anymore. If you're really committed to it, then you stick with it. So you guys have two new podcasts, and you have a bunch of questions. So I want to start with Sarah. So what are some of your questions that you have about your podcast, The Humanitarian?
I think the first thing is, like, is there an important, like, format to follow to kind of make it, like the production, like, give it that, like, professional feel to it?
So you're talking about the actual sound. So when I hit it, when I hit play, you're talking about what kind of introductions and what kind of flow it should have.
Yeah.
I think that it is part of it. If you're beginning, is about getting your feet wet and just kind of walking through it. Like, I think if you wait to make it sound as uber professional, then you're never going to get it started. So first off, you want to just get going and keep it going. I think if you listen to We Are Libertarians over 5.5 years, you know, the main podcast that I do, you hear the intro and the production values change and increase over time. And as you do this, you can go for a certain sound. There's the NPR sound, which is more storytelling and fun, bouncy music in the background, and everybody kind of talks like this, and so they introduce it like this. Yes. You know, whereas we are more traditional, where we have, you know, some commercials at the beginning and then some what are called liners. So if you listen to, for instance, We Are Libertarians, my podcast, it starts out with a network ID, and that is a way to promote the other podcast on the network and to let people know that they're listening to one of my podcasts on our network. And then it goes into some commercials, and then breaking up the commercials are what are called liners, which are little 10-second pieces of audio promoting something else. Because I'm really bad about I forget to promote things like donating or our Facebook, our private Facebook group, or our website. And so I've made liners that I put in their pre-produced pieces that then transition, and then we go into the intro music, and then I introduce it. Now, that's all pre-produced. That's all pre-produced stuff. That those are files I input into the basically when you're syncing everything up in Adobe Audition, which is what I use, then you are it just makes it easy on me. Some people mix all of that stuff live. They have an iPad, like I have an app called SoundSlate, or they use Boss Jock, and they do it live. They mix it like a radio show, and they're pushing buttons. Again, I forget that I'm too ADD and scatterbrained, and there's people in the room, and so I'm not worrying about that. I'm focused on giving the best intro and conversation at the beginning of the show that I can, because I think that's the most important thing. So it really comes down to what kind of workflow works best for you and what you want to test out. You can go on something called Fiverr, and you can get an intro made or get a friend to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I use my own voice. I may update that and use some professional sounding voices. I just never had the money to do it. And people don't seem to care that it's my voice. Mm-hmm. I think it's also kind of important. You know, people listen to your podcast and they like you. That's why they listen. So they don't mind that it's your voice.
Yeah.
So, but I do go on something called Audio Jungle and get the music that I underlay on those commercials, because I think if you start out commercial, liner, intro, and there's no music under any of that, and it's all dry, it sounds... Only Joe Rogan can get away with that, and none of us are Joe Rogan. So I recommend going to Audio Jungle and getting some music. You know, it can be anywhere from $10 to $20 for that one piece of music, but you're going to use that every episode. Mm-hmm. So what have you kind of thought in terms of sequencing the beginning of your show?
So right now on The Humanitarian, I have two podcasts up, and they're a little rough, but okay. I like Don is just like so persistent about like content,
because
like
who's Donna?
Don, sorry,
Don, you're Don Wetrick.
Okay. Yeah. So he's just persistent about like, even if it sucks, like you just have to keep doing it.
Yes.
And the first two, they kind of just have like a sloppy introduction of like, I'm just trying to like get into it. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, wait, I also have a third one up. I forgot I posted that on Friday. But I'm working with my friend Alex, and she is producing, like, this, like, mix for me for the introduction. And then she's also going to produce, like, the under music and stuff. So, like, I've thought about it, but I didn't know, like, how important it was to, like, get it going as soon as possible kind of thing.
Sure. As the most important thing is just doing the show.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, I this is the first episode of podcasting on platforms that I'm recording. Now, it will be like second or third in the release, but I have not thought out the actual introduction. I've not thought out the music. I've not thought out I don't have the website built yet. By the time this airs, I may have it, but I wanted to get started recording the show today.
Yeah.
You know, and if you go and listen to episode 15, you're going to hear much more polish. But the most important thing is push yourself out of the plane and do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it will evolve over time. And the most important thing is the content body. Now, the music that you lay under, the terminology for that is a bed. Okay. So a music bed. So from the radio world, that is what we call it there. Now, Courtney, what's the first questions that you have for Humans of Indie?
So I don't know who to start with. So since I'm focusing on Humans of Indie, I don't know if I should start with people out of my hometown that are kind of like not well known, just to get their story, or if I should try to network out to like wider known people in Central Indy. Like, I'm just not sure where to start to gain a following.
Okay, so we have a podcast series called The Cost on We Are Libertarians, and it's I'm not trying to copy NPR, but it's storytelling through conversation, where I sit down and we start from point A and walk through C, B, D, E, and tell you their story in a linear fashion about how the government, how government policy has affected them. It's not in the NPR style in terms of, you know, I don't do a Guy Raz impression at the beginning and add a bunch of music throughout or whatever. It's not like that 30-minute tight storytelling type thing. It's more conversational storytelling. And so I think you really want to focus on storytelling. I think that's really what you're going after, is that you want to tell people stories.
Exactly.
And so you need to think about how you want to produce the end product. I think you need to begin with the end in mind. And are you going to do more of that slick, polished NPR sound, which I think is much more work, but it's much more gripping, because I say that because they're leading the charts and they're making a ton of money at NPR doing podcasting. You also have a very soft, sweet voice that sounds like NPR. And you probably don't have a lot of interviewing skills yet. I worked as a reporter for a time. I've asked a bunch of questions of a bunch of people. So I've got those reps in. I've got those chops. So I don't need to do a ton of preparation. I still get nervous doing interviews, and I don't do a lot of interviews because I don't like to do a lot of interviews. But when we have done the Cost series, I've started with people that I know well, because I wanted to get some reps with people that would be forgiving of me making a mistake, or me not. If you know someone pretty well, they're going to help you along in the conversation a little bit more. And they're also going to be your weaker episodes. And so when you get a big name, you want to be 10 episodes in. Because then you're going to have 10 episodes of growth and experience. And if you start out with your first episode, let's say, you know, you get the mayor of Indianapolis to tell his story and you get a bunch of downloads, but it's your first episode and you sound unpolished, people are going to turn it off and not come back. Yeah. So you want to, the best way to kill a bad product is through good marketing. So, and getting big names is a good marketing strategy for a podcast. But it's also not the best way to start your career if you don't have the kind of experience that I might have. You know, I have the confidence to sit down with somebody and go through that stuff. If you're thinking about doing the NPR sound, there is a book called Sound Reporting and Out on the Wire. Those two books are about how to make that kind of storytelling podcast. There's a podcast about that. And I forget what the name, there is a podcast about how these shows are made. There's also another podcast called Startup by Gimlet, and the first season was about how he started Gimlet and his podcast network, and he worked for NPR and went and did that. So those are some of the resources that I think that you could take a look at that will kind of help you get started as you make the decision. If you see their workflow and what kind of effort it takes and you go, I don't know that I can balance this right now, then start with that conversational storytelling. And then move into more production over time once you get a little bit better at it.
All right.
But storytelling is a great So does that help answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
All right. Courtney, what's your second question? No, I'm sorry. I looked at Sarah and said, Courtney, I apologize. Sarah, what's the second problem you're having for the humanitarian?
I think like a big thing is like how to deal with a very like uncooperative guest. And okay. So like I feel like you got into it a little bit with like having really polished interviewing skills.
Mm-hmm.
But like, are there certain things that you can do to kind of like make them talk more or?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends. If they're in a bad mood, you can kind of joke your way out of that and get them to open up and feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I think familiarity and if you're doing an interview, you two seem very open and conversational and friendly, and I'm the same way. And so, you know, we had a 15 minute chat before.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't seem to have to sit there and have a long conversation or get really deep. But if you've got someone that is, let's say, low energy,
yeah,
sometimes having a conversation with them and kind of drawing them out a little bit before you start the show helps a lot.
Okay.
If you're in the middle of it and they're one word answer type people,
mm-hmm.
You could always just politely, gently stop and say, how's the best way to put this? And you have to do it very delicately because you don't want the person to make them feel like they're sucking.
Because
mm-hmm. what I have found is that anytime I've done an interview or I've had an interview or I've conducted an interview, the other person really wants to do a good job. They want to perform. They want to give as good of an interview and give value to your audience and to you as, you know, very often we think that if we're doing an interview, we're bothering them and taking up their time. But a lot of times it's like the coolest thing they've done in their week, you know? And so if you can gently just kind of say beforehand what your expectations are, you know, I'm gonna ask you questions and give me as long and as detailed of an answer as possible. There are some people like I'm the worst about shutting up. When I'm on a podcast, like the host is like, yeah, Courtney's pointing at Sarah that she talks too much.
Yes.
And so I have to really edit myself and the host has to scream at me to be quiet. But sometimes people need that conversation before to let them know that vulnerability is okay. I would use that word. You know, we want you to be as vulnerable as possible in your answers without giving away secrets,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to give people, the listener, the best value. And I think if you can just remind people at the beginning that you do this podcast because you're trying to help the listener get something.
Yeah.
You know, for We Are Libertarians, we're trying to teach people about politics in a fun way. For this podcast, we're trying to take people like yourself who are passionate about podcasting and helping them do it as effectively as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that in this conversation that we're having, the people listening get something out of it. And I think if you can take you and them out of the equation and put it on the audience that is listening, sometimes that can help them free their mind up a little bit. If sometimes you're just going to have a crappy interview, they're either going to be rude or they're going to just be dry and boring.
Is it rude to just like be like, it's not going up because it was trash? Like,
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, you're trash. Your show's trash.
Like your interview's trash. Your personality's trash.
I've never not put something up, but I've never really had that experience where it's just kind of not worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, I never want to advocate lying, but you could just say, I had a problem with the recorder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I totally understand the impulse to not want to hurt that person's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, if you think that they were in a bad mood and, like, let's say they just got stage fright, and you need to do it a second time, I had a problem with the recorder, can we do it over again?
Yeah.
You know, and then that second time, because they've got that first experience doing an interview, maybe it'll go better. If that's trash, then
just
move on. Right, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's I would rather not release an episode that I think is just really bad, because I think about all the time, over 223 episodes, and 5.5 years, it could keep me up at night if I wanted to let it, about all the people that listen to bad audio quality or bad conversation and heard our podcast and never came back and never will again. Mm-hmm. You know, because thousands of people have cycled through our podcast, and you put out a bad episode, you may never get that person back. Mm-hmm. So I think it's better to hurt that person's feelings than to risk the growth of your podcast and brand.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I was like kind of feeling with the whole like Wednesday incident, as like I literally waited 3 days to send them an email because like I couldn't like,
yeah,
I just couldn't do it. I was like, I feel so bad because like I feel like I was more excited to talk to them than they were.
Right.
Which I think was part of the problem. But like also the original person I was going to interview, like he had to have this other guy fill in like last minute. And so it was just like this sequence of events that just like slowly deteriorated the quality of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to go back, and I also kind of wanted to ask like your opinion on this, but this company has such like a wide variety of different positions, and I don't think that there's anyone at the company who like knows everything. Mm-hmm. And so like, would it be okay if I did like a podcast with like different like segments of people's interviews?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and that may be one way to do it. So if this particular person wasn't good, you may find a couple gems in there, and then,
yeah,
you know, start out by saying, here's the goal of the episode. Here's the people that we talked to. The first person I talked to was in a clip. I mean, you can start out with doing it in chunks, or you can get as elaborate as something like a Freakonomics episode, for instance, where it's, you know, different voices weaved throughout the entire conversation. So they make one good point. That takes more editing and more talent.
Yeah.
You know, but I think anytime the more effort you put into something, the more results you're going to get and the better it's going to end up. Yeah. You know, the harder mm-hmm. you work, the better the quality will be, the more you will be rewarded.
Yeah.
And if you do things the lazy way, then you end up producing a lazy product and it's not as good. So yeah, I think there's no harm in going back and saying, is there somebody else I can talk to? I mean, I wouldn't throw anybody under the bus or whatever, but
I think I just wanted my original guy back. Like I wanted, but he like had a last minute like obligation, and I was just like, okay.
I mean, I feel like you could always go back and say, hey, I just need more information from a different person or someone in a different field than this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or following up and saying, hey, I have a couple more questions. Mm-hmm. Can I do another five? Can I take 5-10 more minutes of your time?
Yeah.
Then that's okay too.
Okay.
So, Courtney, what is your next question for your podcast, Humans of Indie?
So, since my podcast is so new, I haven't really run into like a lot of struggles yet with mm-hmm. it, but I was wondering if I can ask some general questions about podcasts.
Sure.
So, what do you think is the number one reason most podcasts fail?
I think that people have unrealistic expectations at the beginning.
Okay.
And I think that people don't realize it's going to be hard work. And people just assume that if they sit down in front of a microphone, they will start making money, because they see somebody like John Lee Dumas making $200,000 a month on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll be me in 6 months. 6 months comes around, they're 15 episodes in, they've got maybe 60 listeners
mm-hmm.
or 100 listeners. And they just go, well, this is a lot of work for very little benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 3-4 years before I actually made a single dime to cover the costs of We're Libertarians, and I'm still making no profit because I'm plowing it all back into the business. You know, it's been great where I've had, you know, if I don't have enough money for a tank of gas, I've taken some of the revenue for that, but for the most part, it pays for the hosting, it pays for you know, email services. It pays for all kinds of different things. It pays for equipment upgrades. When we raise money, it's not a profitable business.
Mm-hmm.
It's an expensive hobby
mm-hmm.
or an unprofitable business for mm-hmm. a very long time. And so I think people listen to some of these business, quote unquote, podcasts and get very excited about the prospect of making a ton of money, because they're going to build a sales funnel, and they don't realize, like, it's hard to build an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be really talented to build an audience, but the key to talent is doing something over and over and over till you get good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so where you two, you know, if you're, what are you, 17, 18?
17.
And you have, if you start now, you will be much further ahead at 33 than I was because I started at 28.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or 27 or whatever it was, mm-hmm. doing a podcast. Now, I had worked in radio, so I had other skills, but I've got 15 years of repetitions. You know, like, think of it as an exercise. I've got 15 years of those reps, and so my podcasting muscles are bigger than yours,
mm-hmm.
but that's just because I've been at it so long and I stuck with it.
Yeah,
so,
lots of practice.
So I think that's the key, is that people don't realize it's going to be hard. It can be a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. And it can be very worthwhile, but it's also not as easy as people think.
Yeah.
What was your second question?
What are common misconceptions about podcasting?
I think we kind of covered those, that it's easy to build an audience, that you're going to blast it out to your friends and family and they're going to listen. I can tell you with certainty that most of my friends and most of my family do not care I do a podcast. And they're not going to listen. I doubt my parents know the name of my podcast. You know, like they just...
Yeah.
It depends on the parents. Some are very supportive. Mine
are... My parents know way too much about my podcast.
Right. Well, that can also be a different problem.
Yeah.
But you... The other thing is that people, I think, don't put enough vulnerability into what they're talking about. And the way to build an audience is through making people laugh and telling people a story. It may not be telling a story in the direct way that you're telling a story, Courtney, on Humans of Indy. But through We Are Libertarians, we're telling a story over time about each other and the friendships that are involved mm-hmm. in that. For podcasting and platforms, the story I'm telling is I am an unfinished product and I'm growing this entire network. And even though I've got 15 years into this, I'm still learning things every day and I'm mm-hmm. getting better. And this is my story on how to build this business. So it's to do that, you've got to be willing to open up, and that can be hard for people.
Yeah.
So... on general podcasting, what's another question that you've got?
I feel like my biggest concern is that I'm gonna go to college and it's like not gonna be enough, or I don't know. I feel like that's weird to say, but like it's gonna fall to the wayside because I have these huge like financial obligations that sure. I just made of going to college. And like how to like monetize it, or like is that possible, or do you have to really just like put in the years of like being broke kind of?
I don't think everybody's as dumb as I am in terms of it costing so much. I just have high standards in terms. But when I started, you had to have a board and you had to have a separate recorder and you had to have a bunch of different things. Now you can buy a Zoom H6 that has four to six inputs, and you can do a great sounding podcast, and everything is in the Zoom, and it's $350. Cost me $1,500 for my first set of podcasting equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So technology has made it so much cheaper. Is Anchor the one that's totally free?
It's really easy, just on your phone.
Like right.
You could too. Literally record anywhere with that. It's awesome.
Right.
It's convenient.
And so Anchor is, it's free. You can do a podcast on your phone and it sounds good. Skype is free. It's much cheaper to do it. After a couple years, said, you know what, I'm going to turn this into a business, and to do that, I'm going to have to do certain things to make us look... When we were really small,
mm-hmm.
you have to do things to make yourself look big,
mm-hmm.
you know? And right now, we're still small, and so one of the things that I've done to make us look big is build a studio in the middle of my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not exactly... if you bring a girl home, it's not exactly... I'm a nerd, okay? And they're going to have to be accepting of that. But and it's uncomfortable to have clutter and lights and things everywhere. But it's necessary to get us to the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I've wanted to and We Are Libertarians at 2 or 3 points over the course of the last 5.5 years, but I didn't because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, and even if I didn't want to do it that week, I knew that if I did not do it, like if I was inconsistent, then when I was into it, mm-hmm. then I would miss it if it were gone in my life. Mm-hmm. So if it's not fun and you're not getting something out of it, then don't do it. But if it's fun and it's interesting to you and you're enjoying it, then keep doing it. You know, even if it's once a month.
Yeah. So like basically like no matter like how busy I am, like if it's a priority to me, it'll like get done.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's why we do Thursday nights. Everybody knows that on Thursday night at 7 p.m., we're here and we're doing a podcast. And I know I've got to block that out from my schedule. My co-hosts have that night blocked out. Our guest, you know, we have two different tiers. We have Greg and Kat and I are on every episode. And then we have about 20 other people who kind of rotate through. So I don't burn those people out with time commitments.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not as able to commit to a weekly thing as Kat and Greg and I are. But they all know that it's Thursday nights at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to last till 10:30, you know, so it is a commitment. And if you are going to commit to do a podcast, an audience will commit back to you. And once the audience has made a commitment to invest in you, then they deserve to have your end of the commitment held up, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. So how long did you wait, or like how long would you recommend to wait to promote your podcast, like to start promoting it? Because I feel like when you have one or two episodes and you're kind of unsure about it, and your confidence in it, should you go ahead and promote it, or should you wait till you have like a good handful of podcasts?
That's a tough decision, and I'm sorry for the mic rustling. That's Mittens. She's always a presence when we're doing podcasts. I waited 2-3 years to promote my podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was very, much like, I don't want to seem braggadocious.
Mm-hmm.
Who made me a political authority? Like, even though I had worked in politics in some level since 2000, and I had done a podcast, and I had been the executive director of the Libertarian Party for 4 years, and, you know, I was an authority on libertarian politics, I still didn't feel like I had authority. You know, I just now feel that I am able to, like I told you guys this before the show, like, I don't feel like I have the right to present myself as an authority on podcasting
mm-hmm.
until now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And so... So for me, I've kind of held back, but I've had to get over a lot of that, because if you do a product, like think of the things that you're passionate about. Like, I love Apple. I will promote Apple all day long.
Yep,
I love Shure.
Same here.
I love Shure microphones. We use Shure all the time. I love my Mackie board. I love the Zoom. I love Fireside. I love these tools that I use. So I want to promote them and tell people about them. And if you don't feel the same way about your podcast, then you need to make changes. But if you don't want to promote it because you're shy, then I don't find that to be a valid reason. The whole point of creativity is to be vulnerable on a bigger scale than one-on-one. There are going to be people who think your podcasts suck.
Mm-hmm.
I have put up podcasts in the last month that I thought sucked. You know, and other people loved it. It was their favorite episode. So you never know.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you love your show and you love what you're doing, then you need to tell people about it, because nobody else will in the beginning. Eventually, it'll get to a point where you will have people evangelizing your podcast. So I would tell people about it. I would brag about it. I would post about it. I would ask people to listen to it. And I borderline annoying about it, you know, because... It's an important part of my life. If it becomes an important part of your life, then you want to share that with your friends and family. And
mm-hmm.
Then other people start talking about it, and then eventually it turns into a thing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So I would promote it, and I wouldn't worry about whether or not it's where you want it. It's never going to be finished.
Okay.
It's never going to be perfect. There hasn't been one episode of the 223 We Are Libertarians where we ended and I thought every single part of that was perfect. Next question.
How do you think it's really important to like have concrete release dates? Because I feel like the biggest, I feel like that's one of the biggest struggles is being a high school student, and like so much of my day is dedicated to going to school. Sure. Unfortunately.
Well, especially going into college too, like you don't know what your schedule's going to be like next year.
Sure. Yeah.
So how do you promise something when you, when you're not sure?
I promise once a week, and we don't do, we do once a week most of the time, but every quarter, every, you know, we take a fall break or we take a week off. Christmas time, we take a couple weeks off. We probably put out 48, 49 shows a year out of the 52. You know, that's still a big commitment. Mm-hmm. I just now am introducing a release date of Monday morning, and I'm only doing that so I can give first access to people that subscribe to us. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was usually around Fridays when it would hit, but there wasn't a day where it was like every Friday you're going to get it, because I'm busy too. You know, I know you guys are high schoolers, and I know you're going to go to college and you're very busy, but I'm busy as well, and everybody listening is busy, and there's always going to be an excuse not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can rationalize it away, or you can just do it and make it a priority, and that's what I've done, and that's why I've gotten to where I'm at, and it's because I make it a commitment and a priority in my life. And consistency is key. Once a week, you know, is what works best for us. For Humans of Indie, it may be a monthly release date.
Mm-hmm.
You may only be able to, like, Nate DeMeo is in Memory Palace is my favorite podcast probably, and he was putting out one a month because that's what he could do. But when he put it out, it wowed me. Mm-hmm. It was so good that I looked forward to it. I didn't delete it, because even though it was infrequent. And I think that because of the quality of that monthly release instead of a weekly release, mm-hmm. is what made his podcast, because he put more time and effort into it. So I think it's really what you kind of define, as long as it's consistent. The key is making promises to your audience and never breaking it. If you're making, early on, we were making the promise of a weekly podcast and we were breaking it. And they didn't know or care that I was going through a divorce at the time. They were just mad that they weren't getting their favorite podcast every week. They were getting it twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got angry emails, you know. And once I explained the situation, they were nice about it, but I wasn't ready to talk about it on air yet. So mm-hmm. So it's just about finding that commitment that works for you, making that promise, and then following through.
Okay. I was just worried that, like, I can commit to like once a week, but I just wanted to make sure that it was okay, that it wasn't like every Wednesday or.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's the more consistent you can be, the better.
Yeah.
People like to not worry about stuff. They like to just have that spelled out, but
mm-hmm.
it's not going to kill you if you float the date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you started out, what was the, like, when you wanted to connect with people or get people on your podcast, what was the easiest way you did that? Like email, social media, like what was the outlet that you found was most successful for connecting with people?
Email. Emailing direct, one-on-one communication.
Okay.
If you're trying to get a guest, email usually works pretty well because everybody checks their email.
Mm-hmm.
I may check my DMs on Twitter once a week. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So email usually works. But if they don't respond within a week, then maybe try their Twitter or try sending them a Facebook message. You know, Sarah got a hold of me through Facebook Messenger. I would have responded quicker on Facebook Messenger than email, you know, but
mm-hmm.
If you don't get a response in a week, then maybe try a different platform.
Okay.
It's funny. I was like in class and we had like a 30-minute period, and I was like, oh, like Chris said that I could be on his podcast, but like he like didn't reply to like when, and I was like, should I like say something again, because like I don't want to be annoying, and like
annoying.
And then Don's like, no, like be annoying, like
right.
I want you to show up in him, be like, God, you're the most annoying person I've ever met,
right?
That's how you need to be, like, let me on your podcast. And I was like, okay, and like I was like, I don't know, it's just interesting, like the shift in like perspective, I guess, because mm-hmm. I guess I've always just kind of been like, okay, well, like if they it's up to them. Like, I don't want to push anyone's buttons, but like, mm-hmm. if you want to get something done, you like have to.
Right. No, and it's one of the rules of marketing is that when you think you're annoying someone, that's when people are starting to hear you.
Yeah.
In radio, the by the time you're sick of hearing the song that you've just played over and over and over, the audience is really starting to get into it. For my end of that communication, I'm really busy, and you were lower on my priority list because this project is lower on my priority list. You know, personal stuff, work stuff, We Are Libertarian stuff, then this podcast, and all the stuff that is in that bucket is of a lesser priority, and I didn't quite know what to do with you yet. You floating yourself back up to the top of my messenger made me go, oh yeah, I got to deal with this now. I got to give her an answer. Let me reply. I wasn't mad. I didn't think you were annoying. Okay. It was like, oh, thank you for putting yourself back on my radar because I had a loose end here and I needed to tie it up. Mm-hmm. And I think that anybody who's high profile that you're going to try and interview on your podcast is going to be busy.
Exactly.
You know, and you're not being annoying. It's when if you had messaged me, emailed me, called me, and shown up, you know, like all in the same day or like tried to rush me.
Yeah.
Like it's just because it's urgent for you, it doesn't mean it's urgent for me.
Yeah.
You know, and what you did was great. You didn't bug me and you didn't, it may have been urgent to you, but it wasn't urgent to me.
Yeah.
And then it was like, all right, let's figure out a time. Let's get this. Because he's right. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Yeah. And so don't be afraid to put yourself out there because especially being young, you don't feel like anybody should listen to you. You don't feel like anybody should talk to you. What do I know? I'm just 17. I'm afraid of everything in the world because I'm just a baby. You know, like it's
accurate.
Yeah. So
what is the world actually?
Right. I don't know. I'm insecure. I mean, it's so the people that you're interacting with that are 10, 15 years older than you, like things are less scary because it hasn't happened to us for the first time. You know what I mean? So you did great.
Okay, good.
I had a question and I told, on average from like recording to posting, how long does it take you to edit and put together a podcast average?
In the beginning, it would take me an hour for an hour. And it's because I would take these ridiculous lengths of time to edit out every little and and all that. Like, that's not how conversation works.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, for us, what we do is conversation. And that is, we try to tell stories and give information through conversation that is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And by altering that conversation, I made it inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was providing a net. I was enabling my co-host and myself. And I was saying to them, don't worry about messing up because I got you. And when I said to them, I'm not editing anymore and you need to be careful about your and your mms and all that, they rose to the occasion. And now the banter between Greg and I, for instance, having done this 4 years together, it's in person, it's a show. People remark on it because it's back and forth. And so now it's literally, I don't edit anything out. I've edited some things recently. We were beeping and then we stopped beeping. Because again, it was not our conversation. I say bad words in real life. They say bad words. You guys say bad words at 17. Maybe not Courtney. She seems very nice.
I cuss like a sailor.
Sarah, on the other hand, I don't think Courtney's ever said a bad word, but,
it depends on the situation.
If, like, I get riled up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, it's how we speak to each other, and so I want it to come across like you're hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
And that's what people say all the time is the best part of our podcast, is that it's like hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
And now I edited one part out that I felt was just too blue. It was me, and it was just too too raunchy, and I'm trying to clean it up a little bit and try and make us less that way. And it just wasn't funny. There wasn't mm-hmm. it just wasn't good. And so I just took that 5-minute section out. But that's the first time I've really edited anything. You know, rarely do we have something like we had a spill on the table a month ago, and so we had to pause, and then I had to seal those together. So I get the audio, I cut off the ends and the beginnings, I clean up whatever little, you know, spills or stops there are. I have a pre-built Adobe Audition shell session that I use. I pop that up, I run some compression on it, put it into the thing, export it, upload it. It probably takes me another 30 to 60 minutes, depending, per week to edit and upload and distribute the podcast. So there's less time involved in what we do because I've designed it that way.
Yeah.
I don't want a big workflow. I don't want to do an NPR I don't want to do an NPR podcast because that's too much work and I don't mm-hmm. have the time for it. If I were doing this full time, we'd probably give it a shot. But I just don't. That's not what we do best.
Yeah.
So, and it will take you longer. It may, being younger and just starting out with the editing, it may mm-hmm. take you 2 hours to an hour, you know, for 1 hour. And then, but you'll get faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Technology is definitely, like, out of everything that goes into it, my, like, biggest technology in me. Like, I know I'm a millennial, but
right.
No, we don't mix. Like, I'd write ledgers on pigeons if I could. Or, like, not on pigeons, but, like...
Right.
Delivered.
Yeah.
Via pigeon.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, I thought I deleted a podcast one time because, like, I use,
Audacity.
Audacity. Mm-hmm. And, like, I hit, like, an X or something and the whole thing went away and I was like... Well, where did she go? But then I was like, oh, like, I just have to pull the screen back over. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I always... Before I do anything, I always download just, like, the rough because I know I'll delete it if I, like, I don't know.
If you don't back it up, you'll delete it.
Yeah. It's rough. Or, like, the whole on Wednesday with the audio not recording, like, it's literally just because, like, I guess I don't understand the equipment and, like, technology and I don't know.
Well, that's why I always recommend Zoom recorders. Like, this is $150, this little black one and an H2, and it's so dummy proof. It's literally so easy to use. Then the Zoom H6 is just as easy, but it's more expensive. It's $200 more at $350. But it's like even you, Sarah, could operate this equipment. So you don't need to get into where we're at and like with processors and a board.
Yeah.
And I have a Mackie SFX16 and you know, there's three processors down there, and I don't even have them sounding good yet. I mean, it's on my list to do. Like, even in this podcast, I'm hearing things in my headphones going, oh, I hate that. I got to fix that. I got to, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a learning curve. But, you know, that's why it's so expensive, because there's always, yes. always more toys to play.
Yeah. And I think that's important, that there are learning curves, and people can see your progress, too.
Yeah.
Like, if... Like, going back to a couple questions ago, I feel like if you wait until you feel like it's professional enough, you're doing something wrong. Like, I feel like you need to see that growth, and your audience needs to see that growth in your podcast. I think that's important.
It we've also given them an opportunity to invest in that growth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's partially it's that we are very honest about how... we end every podcast with, and we promise to do better next time, because that's, we're always trying to progress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I make mistakes all the time. Like the Mevo camera shut off halfway through this, so there will be no video of this podcast. Well, at the end, I can sit here and stew about that and be mad about it and like stop the flow of the conversation and fix that. And you know what? It's just, there's just not going to be video, like, because it's at the beginning of the project. Next time I've learned my lesson, I will make it. You know, there's even as a professional who works, I upload over 110 podcasts a week. I make a mistake every day at my job. you know, mm-hmm. I do this for a living and I make a mistake every day. Like, that's just humanity.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but by saying we want to get better, donate to our wish list, donate through PayPal, help us buy this equipment. Here's why we need it. Here's what we're going to use it for. The audience at every turn has stepped up and helped me offset those costs.
That's awesome.
Instead of, and they get more, they get more and more into the show. The more, if you're giving somebody $5 a month, then you're more invested in that show.
Yeah, that's awesome that they're investing in it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it, because I'm really good at the podcast stuff. I'm really good at libertarian stuff and media, and I'm trying to create more libertarians. They may not be. They may be really good accountants or mm-hmm. really good, you know, okra growers or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so for them, it's a better use of their time and money to just hand me the money and then build the tools that creates more libertarians. So it's, and I would never have had the benefit had I not gotten over my own pride and said, this now costs me $200 a month to run. It now, in 2017, as of August, whatever this is, it cost me $500 a month to run the We Are Libertarians Network. You know? And so, but that's because I am constantly trying to evolve the back mm-hmm. end and what we do. And so the audience now is covering that.
Yeah, I think that's awesome that you have people constantly investing in it, because they're promised content and they enjoy the content. And so it's like a cycle. And I think it's like a good community.
Right.
You've built a community versus just a following that likes to listen to you. They're now invested in it and they feel like they're a part of it, I think.
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome.
Every time I post on Anchor, I usually talk until the 4 minute mark, because they're like 5 minute podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then at like 4 minutes, I'm like, all right, guys, like, please send me your feedback, because like, I need to know what you guys are thinking. And like, the way that Anchor works, I feel like it's like a really good community to like give each other quick feedback. And mm-hmm. or like, I'll be like, go listen to Humanitarian and let me know what you guys are thinking. Like, leave me a comment. Like, I want people to tell me what they're thinking, because like getting no reaction, I feel like, is almost like worse than getting like it, even like it's worse than like hate mail. Like,
yeah,
just nothing. I'm like, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I think the skill to be able to take criticism well and want, you know, the people to be like, hey, this sucked, no one liked it, and to be able to take that and flip it around and learn from it, I think that's important when you're making a podcast. You know, you have to be able to adapt to people. You can't just sit there and think that you know it all.
Yeah.
I feel like the first, like, I don't know, I just don't think you're going to get anywhere if you think that you're, like, so much higher than everybody else.
Yeah, in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
exactly.
You have to strike a good balance between knowing you're awesome and knowing that you're awful. Like
okay, well, first of all.
First, why? Now, Courtney, what was that shadiness? What did you just...
Okay, well, like, I am a very confident person. Uh-huh. Like, yes. I think that I'm pretty amazing. But, like, I also... It really just depends on what the feedback is. Like, it depends on the subject, not the feedback.
Right.
Like, there are definitely things that you can keep your opinion to yourself, because I don't want to hear it. Like,
right.
Like what I'm going to choose to eat for dinner. Like, I know that it's high in carbs, Courtney. Congratulations. Okay. Congratulations for eating a salad.
Okay,
but, like,
no,
for other things, like, I don't care. Like, I don't know.
Now, we don't have to have this. Do we need a therapy session?
No. I was just going to say, I think Sarah is a good representation of the balance. She is confident.
I thought you were going to say that I'm like narcissistic or
no,
something.
No. Okay. No, she's good.
But she's also sensitive. Is that maybe?
No, she's confident in herself enough to know that what she's posting is good content and that it's out there for a reason, and she wants to make an impact. And I think that's awesome. But on the other end, she takes criticism well and she wants that feedback. She needs that feedback, and she's not offended by it. She's not like too sensitive in that way, which I think is important. And I think she's a good representation of it.
Yeah.
So. Like, when you see YouTubers, like, gosh, this is my least favorite thing about YouTube, is when they dedicate an entire video to, like, crying about hate mail.
Right.
And, like, or, like, no shade to Trisha Paytas, because she's, like, my queen and I love her. But, like, she lets it get to her.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. And she says that she doesn't, but she really does. And, like, almost lying to yourself like that, it makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when people tell you that you're fat and you're ugly and you're, like, making trash content, like, you should literally just continue to do what you're doing to just spite them. Like, why would you let that
you're making a whole video encouraging more hate.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you just have to be like
inviting it at that point.
You're asking for people to continue to point out these things because they know that it hurts your feelings, so they're doing that to get to you. And so it's like I just don't even care. Like, when people tell me that people are talking about me at school, I'm like, cool, like,
right,
I literally don't care at all.
If you are going to pop your head out of the groundhog hole in any way, shape, or form in the internet age, you're going to get negative feedback. And the bigger you get, the more successful you get, the more negative feedback you're going to get. The more people will have an opinion that you don't care about. I mean, it's just the nature of it. And I work at a nationally syndicated radio show that is the most successful radio show probably in history in several different things in categories. And people are jealous. You know, and you know, people haven't progressed past high school. I got bad news for you.
Yep.
At 33, I can tell you that when you're sitting there at 33, you're going, "What am I in high school?" And we will be in the nursing home and going, "What am I in high school?" Like, and that's why high school is so important, is because you're just sitting here going, I cannot wait to get out of high school because it's going to be so much more grown up in college, and it's so much worse because of the alcohol. But
I mean, is it though?
Yeah,
is it really?
But it really is. You're gonna get negative feedback, and anytime you do anything that is creative, and you're sensitive about it because you're vulnerable, you're being more vulnerable, and it can be difficult. So what's your next question?
I think, what you said, how, like, the video turned off my first podcast, like, my goal is to record them and kind of make these, like, infomercials on YouTube and then, like, direct them to my podcast.
Right.
And so, just, like, do you have any tips for, like, do you edit your videos or do you just kind of, like, shoot them out there, like, cold cut?
Both.
Okay.
So this is what we do at my day job. You know, and I never want to use it to promote myself, but like I work for the Bob and Tom Show, and we have a full stream of the show that paid users get to watch.
Yeah.
And they get access to the archive video, and then we chop that up for content. And it's basically, in my view, content marketing. We're taking 2 to 3 highlights of that day's show that are anywhere from 30 seconds to 5 minutes. I've just posted a 40-minute video the other day because it was a really great guest who's really popular, and people will sit there on YouTube and watch it like TV, you know? But I just posted a 50-second clip on Instagram earlier of the video this morning on a Sunday morning. So at We're Libertarians, we're recording all of the video, and I'm doing 3 things with it. I'm posting the full video. We're live streaming it, and then I take that live stream file and put it on YouTube and Facebook. We're now live streaming for our subscribers, and then, but later on, we're going to put the video out. Like on Monday mornings, the full video will go out of that streaming file that is produced by the Mevo camera. I have 2 Canon R70s that are just 2 $250 cameras that produce, if they're static and it's a well-lit situation like this, they produce good video. And I post that full file, I post each individual segment, and then I pull out highlights. I'm woefully behind. I'm like 5 episodes behind because it takes so long to do. You know, and now the problem is that the content isn't going to be relevant for 6 months from now. But taking those little highlights, those little 30-second to 2-minute clips that I can then put on social media, more people, because some people will watch the whole show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people want to use YouTube for longer content, and they use it like TV on their Roku. Other people want to watch a 30-second thing that is going to make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and video is probably the most powerful tool to market your podcast, and it is incredibly important. And I wish, if I had anything to do over, I wish I would have started video from the beginning and continued to build that channel. Whatever channel you invest in is what will grow. Okay. And so If you invest in the audio podcasting channel, that will grow. But at the same time, your second tier platform should probably be a video service like YouTube. And so you build subscribers, you build that platform out. Because 6 years later, I'm trying to play catch up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And had I done that secondary channel the whole time, yeah, it'd be much more robust than it is now for us.
Yeah. Okay. Do you recommend that I get off Anchor and get onto SoundCloud and Facebook more? Like, do you think that's...
I've never seen Anchor. Okay. I've never used Anchor.
Anchor's new. It's,
yeah,
it's new.
It's kind of like...
It's quick, which is why I'm wondering if I should get off it, because it's almost like a, hey, I'm in the car, really quick update.
Right.
Whereas like SoundCloud and posting to your Facebook page is more, I thought this out, I edited it, it's mm-hmm. more polished. So I don't know.
I believe in putting your content in as many places as possible. So for We Are Libertarians, I have a subscription. I use Fireside.fm as my main podcast host. And that is what feeds the majority of the people that listen to us. I have a SoundCloud account where I post all the audio there as well. I also post it to the back end of my website as an archive copy. And in case I ever needed to go back to self-hosting. I have a Spreaker account. It goes on to Spreaker, which is sort of a broadcasting, podcasting thing. I've not looked at Anchor. It's something that I'd probably look at and try. We're on YouTube. There are a ton of people who listen to podcasts on YouTube. It's really weird. Like they,
yeah,
their firewall prevents them from listening any other way, and so they listen on YouTube. And we get a ton of listen. We get a couple hundred an episode on YouTube,
really,
per podcast, and it's literally a static image of the audio. And I use tunes2tube.com to export from SoundCloud over to that.
That's actually a really good idea.
I know. Yeah. I never thought about that.
I like that.
Because that's the world's second largest search engine. And so people go and search for a topic. And then it's natural discovery. That's how I found one of my best co-hosts, Harry. He found us on YouTube. And so he started listening. So I use Tunes to Tube and put every one of our episodes up there. I would not go to SoundCloud. And here's my warning for people. SoundCloud's business model is unsound. Anchor's business model is unsound. When you are giving out bandwidth for free or way underpricing bandwidth, it will eventually catch up with you. And you've got to figure out a way to make money. That's why Facebook is king and Twitter is garbage in terms of digital advertising. Facebook figured out a way to make money on it and is doing a great job of making money. Same with YouTube. And Twitter is still struggling. SoundCloud is dangerously close to going out of business.
Really?
And I don't trust using that as my main podcast host.
Okay.
Anchor is something that is, if it's anytime you have a self-contained environment, that's why I don't use Spreaker as my main host, but we have a presence there because it's all self-contained and it's got its own little community.
Yeah.
I try to put us in those different communities, but I'm also trying to build my own community. I never try to rely on a different service. So I would look at something more permanent like a Libsyn or a Fireside.fm or Blueberry and PowerPress. I would not go to something like Squarespace where their main goal is to build a website for you and they do podcasting.
Okay.
Something like Libsyn or Fireside does podcasting full time. That's my problem with SoundCloud is they don't invest in their podcast service because they're trying to be a music service.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have us there because it's a community and it can help us get discovered
mm-hmm.
when
yeah.
people are searching yeah. for certain things. So, I would be on as many channels as you possibly can to be okay. discovered. But it takes some money eventually to kind of do that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm spending $50 a month on various subscriptions to make sure that people can find us or use us in any way they want.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Stitcher person, I want to make sure we're on Stitcher.
Yeah.
So.
Just more exposure.
Yep.
So when me and Don were talking about like where to put these things, like mm-hmm. I feel like I went with SoundCloud is because like I was just worried that people would like get confused on how to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So like in SoundCloud, like people know what that is.
Right.
And I think he talked about Libsyn. Is that like a subscription too, or do they have like the free?
It is a subscription, and so somebody said to the Libsyn CEO, it's like, hey, can you match SoundCloud's pricing? We want to switch, and he's like, well, no, that's why they're going out of business, is because, so, I think if you're in the beginning, I'm not anti-SoundCloud. I use SoundCloud for Bob and Tom as our free podcast. Our free podcast is on SoundCloud. You know, we pay for the annual subscription. I like it, and I think that if you're just starting out and you want to get a feel, because it's going to take you some time to figure out how you want to do the show, how you want to structure it, how you want these things to work, if you want to do a show, there's no reason for you to have paid to do It's Lit.
Yeah.
Because you didn't like doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you had spent $100 over the course of several months figuring that out for an audience of probably 10, 15 people, that's $100. It's better to use a free service like Anchor till you kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm, but once you kind of get, for us, you know, we were on the back end of my Bluehost website forever, and that's not how you're supposed to host podcasts. I'm amazed we didn't get shut down, but it wasn't going away, and I could see a big surge of traffic coming our way, so I switched us to a professional host. And it's once you have a proven product, that's when you should switch to something that is paid.
Okay.
But use SoundCloud by all means to kind of get your bearings, but make sure you keep backups of everything.
Okay.
Because if they were to go out of business tomorrow, close down, you know, like RDO went out of business and they closed down and it was less than a month.
Wow.
You know, and so if you're not doing your podcast anymore and they closed down and you didn't hear the news and then you go to get your files, oops.
Uh-oh.
So make sure that anytime you're using something that's free, you're getting what you're paying for. Keep backups of all that stuff.
Okay. And by host, you mean like the Libsyn and the SoundCloud website?
Right.
Okay.
Where you put the file so other people can access it.
Okay. And you don't find that people like are not as motivated to go find it because it's not easy to like access? Or
For us, it's, we use fireside.fm and it has out of all the podcast hosts, it's $20 a month. It has a beautiful front page website. It's super easy to use, super easy to embed into our WordPress site. We have a website. I mean, that's, and we have a full brand, full media company, so to speak, essentially at this point. And so for me, it's I share the WordPress page on Facebook and market that.
Okay.
Most people listen through their podcast app on iTunes.
Okay.
On their podcast app or iTunes. So that's how most people listen to a show. What your problem is that you're trying to solve is more promotional.
Yeah.
How do I market this?
Okay.
And I would recommend to anybody, use Wix. Build yourself a Wix site. It's really cheap. It's really easy. You can build one in a day. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I always tell people is invest in building something that you control. I control my email. I control my website. It doesn't matter if Facebook or Twitter or whatever shuts down tomorrow. People know that WeAreLibertarians.com is the place that they can go to find us. You know, because Facebook consistently messes with people and changes things. You know, but you own your email and you own your website. So,
okay.
Invest in marketing something you own and control. So, instead of pushing people to a Facebook page, we don't know that Facebook's going to exist in 2 years, you know, but you can guarantee that your website will.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So let's do two more questions and then we'll wrap up.
Okay.
How many questions do you guys have? I want to answer all of them and I'll probably put it into two different shows.
I don't know if I have any more questions.
I feel like we've.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that's everything.
All right, cool. Well, then we'll wrap it up.
All right.
All right, so let's wrap up. Thank you, guys. You guys have been great guests. When Don recommended I talk to two high schoolers, I was like, oh, boy, this could be a really rough first episode. But you guys have been great.
Thank you.
So I want to, you know, we've mentioned Sarah, the humanitarian, but give us an idea of what you're doing there so people can go and listen to it and check it out.
So the humanitarian is kind of just like it says, it's in a nutshell, promoting the welfare of your community through knowledge and really bringing things that aren't mainstream to the mainstream media. And we have, our media is so bombarded with politics and what is Trump doing and what is Trump gonna do and what's Trump gonna say. And I feel like there's so much more out there than just what Trump is doing and what's Korea doing. And there are health things like processed meats like hot dogs and lunch meat. They're a group one carcinogen. Like, they're just as bad for you as like smoking. And people don't know that. Like, that is not common knowledge, and it should be common knowledge because sure. you're ingesting a group one carcinogen. And there's companies that are promoting things like that, and there's a lot of really great documentaries and just like kind of things like that to promote that to the mainstream and kind of just change the way that we look at knowledge and try to like find those kinds of things.
Cool. All right. Great. And where can people find it?
Right now it's on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/thehumanitarian.
Okay. And then social media, how can people follow you if they want?
I use pretty much only Twitter right now to promote it, and it's at Sarah Schaefer 50.
Spell that for people, because there's so many different spellings of the both of those.
It's SarahSchaefer 50.
50, all
like
right.
50, not F-I-F-T.
Yeah, 50.
Fitty, F-I-D-D-Y.
Because the reason that it's 50 is because when I reach the age of 35, which is when you're eligible to become president, if the president's only one for one term, I'll be the 50th president if I get inaugurated in my 35th birthday.
You really want to be president, knowing how awful that job is.
Oh, it's her end goal. She's like, been this way since 7th grade.
Yeah, 7th or 8th grade. I've just like...
And it's awesome. Like, oh my gosh. President. Her passion for it.
Did you take
insane.
A trip to D.C.?
Yeah.
Yep. Is that what did it?
Well, originally
Or was it Leslie Knope?
It was really like me. Like, there was nobody where I just was like, I want to... But, everything, all of my like career aspirations have always just been like, there's a problem and it needs to be fixed,
right?
And so I feel like it's more of like the platform, I feel like, is like the everyone knows who the president is.
Sure.
And everyone who's been the president doesn't take advantage of their platform,
right,
and the voice that they have. And it's like things like the oceans and the acidification, and like they just need to be addressed, and nobody with that huge platform like Kim Kardashian needs to talk about ocean acidification. People need to know these things,
not her earring being lost in the ocean.
Yes. And so it's like, it's the platform and it's the change and like it's the outreach, and
it's about making the world a better place.
Yeah,
right.
And that's what the government's for. But
let me tell you, I've worked in politics at the highest level I'll ever want to work. Podcasting is just as effective as politics, so continue growing your media outlet. It's very good.
Okay.
And Courtney, how tell us about your podcast.
So basically I discovered the guy who did Humans of New York a while ago, and I was so curious as to how something so simple caught on so quick. He just found a random person, took their picture, and asked them for their story. And I think it's so interesting to discover people of your community and see the difference between everybody. And I kind of want to do that for Indianapolis and basically all of Indiana, just because even though we're just one state, there's so many different things and so many different things that people do and are involved in. And I also want to incorporate small businesses in Indy that aren't discovered yet, that are making an impact but aren't quite there yet. And I think through podcasting, helping them get discovered and helping just kind of everyone be aware of what is in their community, and kind of getting away from just, oh, well, there's these people and these people, you know, there's all these different types of people all doing something. And yeah, I just think it'd be cool if everybody could know what they're walking around with. So
cool. And how can people find the podcast?
So I promote it mainly on Twitter right now, and it's Courtney Courtney _ Magson Magson.
Okay. And and then are you both on iTunes?
I'm trying so hard, but the application, the biggest thing is the pixelation of my picture.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to fix that. Like,
I can
help you.
Okay. Like, yeah. I'm technology.
Let me just say,
I'm good at technology.
I love
technology.
If you're not on iTunes, you're not a podcast yet. It's like when if you look at our stats, 94% of our listens come from iTunes.
Really?
Yeah.
And like 90% of those come from the Apple Podcast app on iOS. So it is extremely important to go to Apple Podcast Connect and get signed up there. So help her. You help.
Okay.
Her.
Yeah. I need to get on. Yeah, we need to help each
like,
other.
Like, I
need to get on
iTunes
too.
But like, it says like my picture is like too big or something, and I don't know how to fix that.
Oh, I can help you with that.
It's literally, it's just the technology.
Yep. I got you.
Yeah.
Got you.
All right. Cool. So, and make sure you get on the Google Play Store and submit it to Stitcher as well.
Okay.
And then you'll be gravy. That'll be good. So pretty much everybody else uses the Apple iTunes directory. That's one reason it's so important. Like, I use Downcast as my podcast app, and they pull from the iTunes library. And so that's how people can find us. So very good. So we will I thank you so much, both of you, for coming on.
Oh,
thanks for having us.
You two I love this opportunity.
You two
awesome.
Are very, very sweet girls who are trying to make the world a better place, and I like that a lot.
Thanks.
So please go support them and follow what they're doing. And if you have a podcast that needs saved, if you need podcast salvation, then please send me an email at chris@podcastingandplatforms.com. Or spangle@weirdlibertarians.com, and we'll chat, and you can come on, and you can ask me a bunch of questions, and we'll try and figure out all the problems on your podcast, and any type of platform or podcasting issue. I want to talk to you and see if we can't help you as we've helped Sarah and Courtney. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Podcasting and Platforms. You can learn more at podcastingandplatforms.com. And please, if you enjoyed this, share with your friends.
Thank you for listening to the We're Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeareLibertarians.com.